This is your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis. I'm chatting this morning with John Letts, my horse racing expert. John, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Jordan. A few things on the agenda this week we've got. First of all, there's something very close to your heart and my heart, this business with the prison bars. Now, when are the press and the media, and well, when's the AFL going to get over it? To me, I couldn't care less if they played bare-chested. But I mean, they're acting like little kids. Acting like little kids, I reckon.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like Port Adelaide celebrating 151 years as a club this year, and it's just the showdown. It's Adelaide and Port Adelaide. It's never leaving South Australia. It's just two games in the year, but Eddie Maguire, obviously, still, you know, he's not president of Collingwood anymore, but it still obviously holds a fair bit of sway with the AFL, and Port Adelaide getting told that no, you'll lose money and points if you go ahead with the prison bars. It's not right.
You know the amazing part about this, Jordan, and you know, sit back and think, like, there's so many international sports in the world, but Australian rules football is not even international rules game. It's not even international. It's our own country.
Yeah, I know. It's like we're bickering on home soil.
Yes, yeah. Why can't we do what we want? I mean, if it was an international sport, oh, fair enough. If the world wants to argue with us, but we've got half of that AFL board ought to be retired anyway. Look, honestly, they must just sit in there and just. I think they go in there for a cup of coffee half the time. Some of the decisions they make, and you know, they're don't get me going on them, because I don't think, you know, you really need a board that's really dedicated to the game. And
listens to people outside of Victoria as well, I think, is the key.
Yes. Yeah. We've got to have people that are passionate about the game. And, I mean, playing in the prison bars, I mean, and people say, oh, they're not your colours, it's not your team. Well, we have Indigenous rounds and we have all other games, don't we, with different colours? And what about when their away games, some of the teams? They have different jerseys. Tell the AFL to grow up. Tell them to grow up and get with the modern times. Anyway, let's get off of them, because if I start talking about them,
we'll be here all morning. Yeah.
Oh, look, a few of my mates around at the coffee shop, they'll finish up getting the tram over there or a bus over there and getting over there and having a word to themselves. But they won't listen, because they're a world, in a world of their own. But
and that world is Victoria.
Yeah. And getting about $1 million a year. Or around about $500,000 or $1 million a year for sitting in a meeting and doing, well, we won't say nothing, but we're just doing. Anyway, good morning this morning to the Stirling North girls and Wyala. Have we got any news on Wyala at all?
GFG, the company that owns the steelworks, are going to be going to court in May, next week to talk about their financing. But it looks like they do have some financiers putting up their hand and doing some due diligence on whether or not they can become financial backers of the company. So sounds like good news.
Okay, what's your opinion on, well, I know my opinion on it, because three people were killed last week. On these driverless cars, these electric cars. To me, I think it's just plain stupidity, because, I mean, I want someone behind the wheel. Just tell me this. You're driving down the road, okay, and a little kid runs out between cars onto the roadway in front of the car. Now, what does this driverless car do? And what if this little child gets, say, badly injured or killed? Who gets sued, or who gets the blame?
Well, I think at this point, because driverless cars aren't actually a thing yet, I spoke with Mark Borlase on the RAA earlier in the week, and he was saying that at this point in time, we are definitely, you have to be in the driver's seat, and the technology is, sure, you can be at hands off, but you need to have eyes on the road. You still need to have some sort of awareness, because that's where the technology's at the moment. So if you've let the car go willy-nilly, you're not paying attention and you hit someone, that's on you as a driver.
Okay. What, are we getting so lazy we can't drive our own cars now?
I mean, it would be nice to, you know, if you're on your way to work, have a nap in the car while the car does all the work. But, you know, that's a while away.
You can have that at work.
Yeah, exactly. I'll automate my whole life. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Now, also, it's something very interesting, Jordan, that came up this week about the horse that broke down in the Melbourne Cup. You know, that was very interesting, because and there's an article in the paper from Dermot World, and the horse was Anthony Van Dyke. He broke down in the Melbourne Cup. Well, there's been, over the years, there's been, I suppose, well, there hasn't been very many. There was a write-up in the other paper Caleb Bond wrote that, you know, about there hadn't been as many horses hurt in the Melbourne Cup as what there is other races. But, I mean, there was one horse over the carnival that was injured, okay? There was four meetings, 37 races of the top-class races in the world, big fields. One horse was injured. It's a pretty good percentage, I think, out of having that many races, because when you work it out, you've got 39 races with about 20 horses in each race, and one horse gets an injury. Now, I thought Dermot Weld made a good statement, because he came out and actually invented Cropping and won the 93 Melbourne Cup, and Dermot Weld said that more must be done in Europe before the horses left their home countries, including a full body scan and a CT scan of their fetlock joints. I think that was a great statement on Dermot's part, because, I mean, how do we know that this was not an underlying injury with this horse before he got here? He ran second in the Caulfield Cup. Okay, he ran real there. But the thing was, it doesn't always, injuries don't, I've had injuries myself and had x-rays and found out later that I've had cracked bones and bones. And doctors will tell you themselves, x-rays and all those CT scans, they don't always pick everything up. And there's people out there that have had illnesses who will agree with me on this. So, I mean, they're blaming the BRC this, you know, but it's not the BRC's fault, because they take all the precautions before those horses are allowed to run in the Melbourne Cup. They examine those horses the day before, go over them thoroughly with the veterinary surgeon, the stewards are there. Every runner must be examined. So it's just something that it's going to happen. It'll happen again, and it'll happen in every sport. But as you know, I suppose you know someone, Jordan, that's played football and gone out on the oval and been playing the game and suffered the injury just through no fault of their own, and they went out there without an injury.
Yeah, my younger brother at football training, no less, stubbed his foot on like a tuft of grass and ended up tearing his tendon. So his ankle ended up really swollen and purple and gross. Sorry, Aiden, for calling your leg gross. But, you know, it's just one of those risks that comes with running on grass and, I guess, just sports in general.
Yeah, well, that's what's going to be, you know, it's going to be a talking point in Melbourne, but it's only to fill the papers up. That's all they do, because they've got nothing else to write about. Now, what about this? There's a choice, and I thought Bruce Burford, he's a guy that writes in every weekend of the press, and he said, I will not be shedding any tears for the Australian IPL cricketers if they complain about being stuck in India based on its COVID-9 situation and our federal government banning all flights from there.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that anyone actually... Oh, first of all, that the IPL was going ahead and that anyone actually went over there for it.
Yeah, you know why.
Money.
Yeah, money, and that's exactly what he said. The obscenely well-paid players travelled there knowing the virus was already rampant, but their pockets did the talking. And
yes.
I think, Jordan, that is the answer to the question. There's only one little other little thing. Well, the opposition, you can hear the opposition saying that the government at the moment sold everything. Well, I just want to remind them, how do we get on about the forest down in the southeast when the former government sold all that and all the stuff they sold and built a $12.5 billion hospital, which was quoted at $2.5 billion and cost $12.5 billion. We could have had another five hospitals for that. Anyway, let's get away from politics.
We should get to the races.
Get to the races, have a look at them, yeah, because, we've got a big day here tomorrow. There's a lot of Victorian jockeys, trainers, and New South Wales jockeys and trainers, and you're going to see the best of the best here tomorrow at Morpheville. Look, in the first, I like number four, horse called Translation. It's about $4. Race two, number two, number one, Lord Bladderstock picks itself. It's odds-on favourite, but, I mean, anyone can pick that. We have to go with it. It's about $1.95 in the press this morning. In race three, I like number one, Veradine. It's $4. Race four, number three, Converging, is about $10. I've tried to pick some of a little bit of value for us here tomorrow. Last week, we got one up. We only got one or two winners last week, but one of them was $8, so that did save the wreck a little bit. Race four, number three, Converging, is about $10. Race five, number four, 1,000 Wishes, is $6. Race six, number two, Bo Rosser, unlucky in Melbourne the other day, nearly got there with Jamie Carr on. Tomorrow back in Adelaide here with Toddy Pannell. $4 in race six, number two. Race seven, number five. This is a horse I like. And, you know, it's pretty good odds too, Jordan. It's a horse called Lyre, L-Y-R-E. Now, I've been following this horse. It ran second the other day. It's 14-1 because it has drawn barrier 17 in the big race. But I'm not worried about that. I think it's a terrific each way bet. Race 7, number 5, Lyre. Race 8, number 13, Steinen. This is for the Oaks, the big race, the real big race of the day, the Group 1. She's $4. She'll go out to $5. It'll be an open betting race. Race 9, number 10, Euphoric Summer's about $5. Race 9, number 10. We shoot over to Sandown. Race 1, Quirity. Honestly, I know, Jordan, you look at horses' names, don't you, when you look in the press and you think, how did they get those names? But, you know, with the Godolphin team, and these are towns and cities and suburbs and whatever, or street names in Dubai and over in the Middle East. This horse is spelled Q-E-Y-A-A-D-Y. Now, how would you pronounce that?
I don't know if I could.
No, and don't become a race caller.
I mean, anyway, and that's the thing, like, and then you want to go put down a bet on a horse. I guess you have to say which number it is, don't you? Because there's no way you're going to the box office and saying, I want,
Yeah, for sure. Quality or whatever. Anyway, it's one of the Godolphin teams. And race 1, number 2. Race 2, number 8, I like Harlem Blues, about $5. Race 3, number 5, Cordilla. It's short price, it's $2. Race 3, number 5. Race 4, number 3, Grand Promenade, about $3. Race 5, number 1, Ciccone is $5. Race 6, number 5, Chalice is $5. Race 7, number 6, Palace Whisper is $10. Race 8, number 11, 30 Deeds is $8. It's right down the bottom weight. And race 9, number 2, Valaquenta is $7. Anyway, quickly I'll race through these. Sandow, race 1, number 2. Race 2, number 8. Race 3, number 5. Race 4, number 3. Race 5, number 1. Race 6, number 5. Race 7, number 6. Race 8, number 11. Race 9, number 2. We shoot over to Morpheville, and we've got race 1, number 4, race 2, number 1, race 3, number 1, race 4, number 3, race 5, number 4, race 6, number 2, race 7, number 5, race 8, number 13, and race 9, number 10. And gamble responsibly, but I just got a feeling a couple of those roughies might run really big races tomorrow too, Jordan.
No worries. Well, John, best of luck with your tips, and thanks for chatting.
Okay, we'll speak to you next week.
Will do. That was John Letts, my horse racing expert on your Classic It's Breakfast.